Praise the Lord. God is so faithful. Just asking the Holy Spirit, what would he have me to speak on tonight? And one of the words that I hold dear in my heart concerning our walk, our ways, and is the sovereignty of God. And we see this in his word. We turn to Ephesians 1:11. Gives us just a glimpse. Here, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. And as Judy prayed, just to realize that he's working all things in us after the counsel of his own will. And then if when we go in further into the word, it'll tell us he worked within us both the will and to do of his good pleasure. And it's just wonderful, saints. There is not one of us here that are here by accident this evening. And I love this, just the blessedness of knowing that we're not just here by happenstance. We just didn't wander in here. We're here because God has a message to speak. So again, it's the sovereignty of God. You didn't even come in living waters, tabernacle, just by accident. And I tell you, the marvel of it is we take so much for granted because we don't know. We grow in grace and knowledge. But I remember Brother Hill saying, especially one time, he said, there's thousands of people that have come through this place, and they're not here. So it just makes you realize how blessed we are. If we're here, it's because of the grace of God and his mercy. And I remember particularly that working one time, this guy asked me, it was so strange, about this tabernacle. And I'd never been here. Didn't know anything about it. And he said, well, I went to visit this church. And he said, I didn't see anything particularly different about the church, the message, or other people. And he said, it's called Living Waters Tabernacle. And I thought, I've been invited there. But God in his grace enabled me to come and see just the opposite of what he said. And it had no effect on me at all. It's like, well, thank God. Thank God that I heard differently and saw differently. In the book of Acts 9:15, Paul was very convincing as he talked to Festus about before Festus giving his testimony. And the first thing, well, one of the things he said, he was a chosen vessel. We can just turn to Acts 9:15. It's always good to read that, but I love it. Because here, but he was saying this, and again, we look at the sovereignty of God in this. Things just don't happen, saints. They're planned. Your life and mine, it's just, again, it doesn't happen. It's planned. There's probably so many testimonies in this building right now. Not just here in our state that we're here in this precious meeting, but moved from other places. Time after time again, people have moved in this city. And the sovereignty of God, you just weren't moving. You just weren't coming here. God enabled and sought you out to come here to hear this precious message of winning Christ as your bridegroom. And that's just amazing to me that God would reach. And of course, we have testimony after testimony in the Word of God. But if you turn that again to Acts 9:15, and we see this testimony here of the conversion before Festus. Paul gave his precious testimony through Jesus Christ, how he received the salvation and the Holy Spirit. And this was all in the will of God. And Paul was so convincing that Festus said, "You're beside yourself. You're just outrageous in this testimony, Paul." In fact, Festus said, "I think you're overbearing in so many words." And finally, it's like, "You know, I just wish you would settle down here, Paul, and get sober." And he said, in other words, "Straighten up. You're just going too far." But that was how much Paul knew that he was a chosen vessel as unto the Lord. We're all chosen here. And we can be that convincing in our testimony. People say, "Well, why that church?" Or why? Because we know that the message here is the gospel of grace. It's Paul's gospel of grace. So we really want to tell people that. But the Lord said unto him, "Go thy way." This is his testimony. "And for he is the chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my sake." And this is what he was repeating to Festus. And he knew that. Praise the Lord. A good man's steps are ordered of the Lord. So it was sad how Festus' heart was turned away. He didn't accept this. But again, the sovereignty of God, saints, expresses the absolute, irresistible exercise of God's self-will over every area of our lives. That's what the sovereignty of God is. There's just no second causes, no accident. So in that, then you come into the scripture of Romans 8:28, for we know all things work together for good to those that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. So whatever we're faced with here this evening, as we grow in grace and knowledge in these scriptures, we've heard them time after time. But then there comes a time when we hear them and we've grown by God's grace in grace and knowledge. They become dear to us. We can be in the most pressing trial, the most pressing. And how many times have we learned immediately? I mean, there was times when we stalled or we hesitated. But now we're at the place in growth where we immediately say, "My comfort is I know this is working together for my good." Do I understand that? No, but by faith, it's working something in my life. And it doesn't matter how the trial came, if I was instrumental in the trial or just came from the hand of God. And how comforting is that, that we can comfort ourselves in believing that this is going to work something in my life so precious. And it's just amazing when we can come to that place where we can say that. We're going to talk a lot this evening, this is a short message, about in Philippians. That's where we're going. And we're going to look again at Christ talks. He tells us through the Apostle Paul, the main thing, and we've had a wonderful study about this in Scott's class and the other classes, and it just goes on. It never gets old. If somebody else come up here next week and preach on this, it would still be more meat. More meat, more growth. And it just, God, you can't exhaust the word of God. So every time you hear it, you're going to hear that layer upon layer, precept upon precept. And that's what's sweet about it. But we have a mind, and we realize this. We know this. We have a mind that can be so carnally minded, it's ridiculous. And then we have a mind that can be so spiritual minded. It's outrageous. So it's wonderful that we can have this mind, the spiritual mind. That's the mind that's in Christ Jesus. And we have his mind. We have the opportunity to let. Brother Hill said in his book, writing, let means give permission. How many times do we hear the Holy Spirit say, give permission? Let this mind that's in Christ Jesus dwell in you also. This mind, as we give permission, is a very humble mind. Very. And remember, it says in the Word of God, be anxious for nothing. You know, saints, it requires personal experiences for us to know God. We have to experience these things. We're instructed to stand and withstand in the truth of God's word. What will keep our minds? The fruit of the Spirit. Is Christ work this fruit in our life? That mind that's in Christ Jesus will begin to develop and grow. And that's what we want to remember. We want to talk about. He immediately gives us the solution. Anytime God gives us an exhortation about anything, he immediately gives us the solution also. So as we talk about this mind tonight and the fruit of the Spirit, one thing we want, we do not let, God gives us here. Let's turn to Philippians 2:5. The sevenfold self-humbling of Christ. Did Christ humble himself? Yes, he did. He humbled himself. He took those seven steps down, even to the depth of the cross. He was a man. He had to humble himself in order to be enabled to take those seven steps down. And that's why it's so important. Because when we humble ourselves, we see things. We have the love of God. We have the wonderful glory of God back in that humble mind. Anytime you're humble, you know, as we grow in grace and knowledge, and I just love it, there are just times when love, because we grow, and then the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit. But aren't you in a place, and you will be coming to a place, that sometimes you want to say something to someone, and you can just know in your heart, God doesn't want me to say that. I mean, it's wonderful when you can encourage them, don't say that. There's another way to say this. Go in humility. Humble yourself. Put that person's feelings above your own. Make sure that you say it in love. And that's the difference in growth in Christ Jesus in grace and knowledge. Or there are just times after you come from on your knees, you say, I'm not going to say that at all. I decided not to say that. That's not encouraging. That's me. That's my mind. You want the mind of Christ. You want the wisdom. You want the knowledge. You want what he wants you to say. Or the main thing, if that, you want to wait on God. Waiting is never in vain in the Lord. It's never in vain. When you say, Lord, I want to make this move. I want to do something. But by all means, help me to wait. When you're waiting in peace. When you're looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, he's going to answer. God's one thing we learned, that God's waiting doesn't mean no. It doesn't mean you can't do that. It just means his timing is perfect. So a lot of times when he asks us to wait, we think he's saying, no, you can't do that. No, you can't. I just love it. He's not saying that. He's saying, wait for my timing. It'll be the perfect timing. So that's the thing that we grow in. Again, we grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So again, here in Philippians, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation, took on him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the knee, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And then it goes on, St. Paul tells us that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. That time is very near. That time is very. So what will this cause us to do, this mind of Christ? It will bring us to the point where we'll do all things without murmuring. Really. Sometimes we think, is that possible? Yes, it's possible. And we'll do all things in the light of this. We will not be disputing with God about this. The mind of Christ in us will become humble. And then he says in here, the outworking of the inworked salvation. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as much in my presence, but how much more in my absence. Do you know how wonderful it is to obey Christ? Not in his absence. Of course, in his presence. But how wonderful that we grow in grace and knowledge, that we can obey. Not that he's not with us, but when we know that we're somewhere and we're instructed of him. That's wonderful when that can happen. And so that's a growth. So he says, holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not in vain. I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So here again, and I love this because when Paul sends Timothy, he says here, and this is still 2:16, he said, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. See, he wanted to know about the Philippians' growth. That's what state means. State means growth. We're saved, but we're growing in grace and knowledge. So he wanted to know how their growth was. And that's what he wants to know in our lives today. There are so many wonderful examples and so many wonderful victories that you see saints right in this meeting being pressed out of measure beyond strength. In so much like Paul, they're despairing of their life. But at the same time, you hear saints say, but I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that God is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And this is the growth that we're looking for. This is the growth that God is pleased with when you begin to understand by faith. But anyway, concerning Timothy, he said, I have no man that would like-minded who will naturally care for your state. The mind of Christ is what that's why he sent Timothy. And then he said, but you know the proof of him. Isn't it wonderful? They saw Timothy going through some trials, some things that were pressing him out of measure, but they saw Timothy in victory. So these saints knew. Paul called this testimony, called their attention. You know what he's like. I'm not just sending anybody. When he sent us Brother Jesse, and I know Brother Jesse wants me to talk about Christ. Send us just anybody. He's sent us someone that would enable us to hear the word of God, the truth of the word of God, that we might grow in grace and knowledge, that we might run this race to win Christ as our bridegroom. His selection of who he chose to pastor, be our pastor, was all for gain. It was for the glory of God. So we were blessed beyond what measure of what those people that were at the funeral. I know they said more than once, I've never heard anything quite like this. So God is faithful, but he had us in mind. So that's what he was saying. Like our pastor, I'm sending someone that's going to be a blessing to you, that's going to care about your growth, that's going to know and going to preach the word, that's going to hold up the light of the word of God, the grace of God. And it's going to tell you about winning Christ, what you can have, the cup of salvation. That's more and more. And that's what he was saying. Therefore, I hope to send him presently, soon as I see how it will grow, it will go with me. But he also said, I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. But Paul tells Timothy in verse 9, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. It does bring maturity. The Apostle Paul said the love of Christ constrained him. Let me tell you something about the love of Christ. The love of Christ just does not constrain us not to do. It constrains us also to do. So it's a twofold thing. There's the love of Christ that will constrain us when we're going to make a decision. Are we going to do something? Because we want God's mind. We want his will. That's what we want more than anything. And it will cause us to just stop and say, and wait on the Lord. I want to wait. I want to see how the Spirit is leading me in this. That's the love of Christ. And we grow to that point where we want the will of God. If it's almost to the point where if we can't have the will of God, we don't want it. That's the point we can come. It's not even worth it. It's not worth it. Just forget it until I can get the mind of Christ about this. Oh, we should be shouting. We should be so excited because that's what we can have. We can have everything that the Lord wants us to have, even while we're waiting on him, and especially in this life. You think when we wait on him, when we seek him, it's not in vain. He's going to show us. This is his purpose. This is what he would have us to do. But it's so marvelous. It really is. But again, finally, we're going to go to 3. He says, rejoice in the Lord. This is a book of rejoicing, Philippians. To write the same thing to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. And he tells them to beware of evil workers, of the circumcision, for we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Jesus Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, I know there's not a one of us here that found out we can't have confidence in the flesh. From even the youngest, we can't trust ourselves. Thank God. Thank God. And so we learn that our ideas and our plans are not something that we want to trust. And then he brings up another brother. He talks about Epaphroditus. And you think, why would he send Timothy and Epaphroditus? Did he need both of them? Well, Epaphroditus was instrumental in their growth, and he had longed for them in the bowels of mercy. And so he wanted also them to realize that he ministered to his wants, for he longed after you and was full of heaviness because that he'd heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him. But again, we're going back to finally, my brother, rejoice in the Lord. But I want us to go to one of the sweetest portions of Philippians that before we stop here. There are just times, and then it's the 4th chapter, like I said, it's not a very long message, but it's just it's thrilling to my heart. Here in the 4th chapter, he says again, rejoice in the Lord always. Was he talking about rejoice in the circumstances? Rejoice in the feelings? Rejoice in what happened yesterday? Rejoice in what might happen tomorrow? Rejoice in the Lord. Amen. In the Lord. That's the only thing we can rejoice in. And be assured that when we rejoice in the Lord, we're awfully full, saints. We're awfully full of the grace. We're full, but we're just bubbling over when we rejoice in the Lord. Why did he say always? You say, well, I can't rejoice in the Lord always. I didn't want to. There's just times. Because our rejoicing is because we know that he can never fail us. He'll never leave us.
Amen.
Everything that he said, he's able to prove. He's proven to us. He proved Timothy to the Philippians more than once. That's why I could send him. But again, find the secret of the peace of God. Is it a secret? Paul said it here. What is the secret of the peace of God? I love that. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. 4:6. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. There are times when I've started to pray that. My request is like, just a minute. Father, I thank you. I want that thankfulness then. I want that to precede my request.
Right.
I want you to know, whatever you do, however this turns out, I'm thankful. I want to be thankful.
Amen.
That's the growth that we're coming to. That's the growth we can have. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever, this is the presence of God for peace. There are times, I used to have this right by my bed. There are times when you get in bed, you toss and turn. That's just the way it is. There's so much weighing on your heart. And I used to think, you know, I know that's the key. I know that's the answer. It's right here before me. And I want to rely on this. So I would turn and pick the scripture, the word of God, and I would turn and I would begin to say, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, God, don't let me stay here half the night. I want to think on these things. Look it up. Look it up this evening. Toss me and turn. This was Monday. This is just an example. What about Tuesday? Well, I said that last night. Get in bed. Whatever things are true, we start all over again. Hallelujah. Whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, this is what I wanted my mind to begin to get full of. Not what things that I can't do anything about, or things that it didn't even have to be me, it could be a family member, or thing, or anything. This is what I want to put me to peace tonight. I want these things, Father. And it works. It works. It works every, and I wouldn't say I did it 7 days a week, but if I had it, it would have worked. Because these are the things. Let this mind, give this mind permission to rely, to bring into the presence of God these things. So that's the victory over being anxious. We do not let the dishonest things occupy our minds. Whatsoever things are just, things, people that represent God always act in that which satisfies God, that represent God. Pure. Only God can bring our state to our standing. A good report? What's a good report? We want to be bearers of good news, saints, not bearers of bad news. First thing, when somebody comes up, it can be right here in the meeting and say, have you heard? It's like, oh, Lord. That's my reaction. I don't know if I want to hear this or not. Sometimes There, I have no choice. But it's not to go and say, well, you learn. Faith, you grow, because he's faithful. And you learn not to repeat everything you're told. You learn to ask God. Just pray about it. And that way, the peace of God in that situation and in your heart and mind. And so we learn this. That's growth. There may have been a time when I would have thought, I need to bring this up to see if it's really true. No, I don't. I don't need to do that. I can trust God. I need to just believe God. And if I really want to do something, get on my knees and say, Lord, I don't know if this is true or not. But one thing I don't want to do, and I know, I can look at Linda shaking, we don't want to bear false witness. That's one thing. We don't want to cause any problems or any discomfort unless God is in this. And I can't see God staring up. That's not of the Lord. And then it's how you say things. You know, you can sometimes, this is wisdom and this is growth in the Lord. You don't have to say, well, Mary said it. You know, you can just say, somebody said it. I mean, we need to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to learn how to fight the good fight of things, to keep the peace of God that only God can do. We need to learn how to approach these things with the love of God. And that's, when we close tonight, that's what it's all about. You get enough love in your heart for the Lord and his word. You're going to want to be careful. You're going to want love to rule and reign in our life, the fruit of the Spirit. You get enough love of Jesus. You're going to want to not repeat everything you hear that you think might have some. Does it have any fruit in it? There's ways you can measure things. Is it going to bring happiness or sadness? Or here's the other growth. If I'm to mention this, give me wisdom. The wisdom I would trade for nothing. The wisdom of God. Teach me how to say these things. Teach me how to approach this way. Teach me. Growing in grace and knowledge is one of the most rich blessings that we can ever, ever have. Oh, and then a good report again. So this is the thing that satisfies God. This is how we represent him. So as we close tonight, we want to say that we want to look at a couple of notes from Brother Copley along this line and his book. Again, one thing we have that we can rely on is the Holy Spirit. That's the person in us that's working in us through the Word of God, to will and to do of God's good pleasure. So we know that one day, in that day, the man Jesus will be called Wonderful Counselor. This is Brother Copley. Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. It is he who will speak, saying, There is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. This is what Isaiah said. We won't turn there. But this is something, these are just notes that is in this book. And then he talks about giving him a name that's above every name, highly honored. His common name, Jesus, highly honored. Notice that he says here, that was the name as man, not as God. Bear in mind, if people divide the word of truth rightly, they will not fall in gross error. So this is what we're talking about. If we rightly divide the word of truth when we're reading it, he's going to lead us. He's going to guide us. And we won't fall into error about things. And again, he talks about above every name, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, Jesus Christ is Lord. The saints will confess him gladly and gloriously. The wicked will acknowledge his lordship. So we know that day is coming very, very soon. But again, we want to be imitators. One thing he said, Paul, follow Paul as he followed Christ. He didn't say follow Christ. He said follow Paul as he followed Christ. He's our pattern, example. I don't know if Joe's here, but in Scott's class, he gave a wonderful example of a pattern. Something that's, what did he say, Scott, about pattern when you asked Joe? Be an example. It was, but I wish he was here, but it was like the definition of a pattern. That's what it is. It's something that's made in the image of something or cut out like the something that you're asking for. But anyway, Paul was our race course runner. He was a pattern, and that's the definition. We have him as an imitation to follow. So he followed Christ. So anyway, as we close tonight, we know that all growth must be by the Spirit through faith in the abounding grace of God. Feeding on Christ by simply believing the plain word of the Lord enables the new life to grow. I just can't say enough about growing grace and knowledge, because it's such a wonderful thing to me that I can go home tonight and get up in the morning and have some maturity about something I didn't understand an hour ago. Or I can read the same scripture. I can take this and read it. Maybe last week or week before, I didn't understand it. But now I can read it. I've read books by Brother Hill, Brother Copley, the things that I didn't understand. Now I can pick them up because of the growth in Christ, Jesus, and through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I can read them, and my understanding has been enlightened. Yours too, all up and down these pews. That's what's so wonderful. You might say, I've read that before. Read it again. Right. Read it again, because you're going to learn something different. Every time we read it, the word of God is truly line upon line and precept upon precept. And it's wonderful to pick up something that I didn't understand. I just want to go shouting through the house. I see it. I see it. I see it. I didn't see it before. Lord, I see it. And that's why it's so exciting. Go home and read. Even if you read it before you left, if you feel led to read it again, just that quick. Understanding can come through growth in knowledge, through the power of the Holy Spirit. God can quicken that and make it just that real, even tomorrow. And then you come to the place where you say, I can't get enough. I can't get enough of the Word of God. I can't get enough learning about my bride. My Lord and Savior. I just want to be full and overflowing. I can't just, it's like, I don't even know how to explain it. But it's like if I could just, and I can't feed and chew on this. It's like, but Lord, don't ever let me get where I don't want to hear more about you. Loving you, your love, your grace, your mercy. Like, I don't ever want to get where I'm just stale. It's like, well, that may not mean, it means everything. It means everything. And so that's the wonderful thing about Philippians and all the rest of the prison ministry. Paul was the one thing I thought before I closed. I thought, how many stripes did Paul need? He gives us that example there. Thrice he was shipwrecked. How many shipwrecks? When one man enough, beaten with rods, how many rods did he have to be beaten? How many things did he have to continue to go through over and over again to learn? Evidently, it was necessary for him to continue. You might say, I've been through that trial. That's the same trial that I was in a month ago. It's back again. God made no mistakes.
No.
If our apostle had to have these things repeated in his life, how much more? But we need it. It might be the same trial, but I tell you what, it's not the same outcome. I that God is bringing out even more so. But if our apostle needed these things, a night and day in the deep, and he went through these things more, some of these things more than one, how much more saints do we need them? But you just think, did they work? Did he give up by God's grace? Did he say, I'm not going to this next shipwreck. I'm not going through that again. I've had it. No. He just knew. Because he was a man that was caught up. And he saw things that he couldn't ask. And he had such a revelation. And he just determined by the grace of God and the mercy of God and the love that he had for his bridegroom, it's going to be worth it all. Amen. And that's what we can do. Let's stand. Amen.
Polly, we've closed tonight.